Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to another broadcast with Smile 3E and Let's Talk with Minister Sheila Kaiser and Cecilia Kaiser. I thank you for all of your prayers, all of your support. I want to wish each and every one of you a wonderful Memorial Day. There's somebody that would love to be able to celebrate Memorial Day on today, but they are not able to for various reasons. So let's take this time to be thankful for our freedom, because someone in some country would love to be able to praise God when they want and how they want, but they can't because of the laws of that country. Minister Sheila, did you want to start off and start us off with prayer and whatever things you wanted to talk about on today?
Good morning. Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, I thank you for this morning, and I would like to start prayer off by saying thank you, God, thank you, and I thank you for another day, another blessed day, another day of life, of love, another day to treasure and to worship you and praise your name. God, I ask you, our Father, to look over this world, United States, all other countries, and Lord, bless them with the nature and the knowledge to know who you are, to know what you are about, how you can bless them, how you have mercy on them that they have made another day of life. Lord, I ask you to bless my family, my blood family, my spiritual family, my sisters, my brothers, and all worlds and nature of color. Bless my daughters, bless my sons, my nephews, my grandsons, granddaughters. Lord, I just ask you to bless us all with a life knowing you, to worship and to understand without you we will not be. Lord, take this curse of these demons away from us. Lord, cover us and keep us in your surrounding. Put us in that fence of love and nature and hope with blessing and prayers of you, Lord. I thank you for this holiday weekend. As Apostle Elect Cecilia said, some of us wish we could worship and praise and enjoy the day. Some of us is not here to participate in life. Some of us is not here to participate on the holiday. Lord, the ones that's here, to cover us, remove this crime, make us safe, Lord, that we might be blessed with another day as you should choose to understand that you are the life. You have given us birth. You have given us life. But as we go on, we need to worship and to understand and to treasure your word, your life, way of life, and to understand. Lord, I thank you. Cover us all. Lord, bless our government, our president, our aldermen, our senators. We just ask you to understand, to help these law lawyers and lawmakers to understand the way of life. It is not going according to your plan. Lord, we need you to strengthen them, give them the knowledge to understand that they need to worship and look over and praise the people to keep us from all this killing. You don't have a right to take a life. You gave us the right and the knowledge to make a life, but not to take a life. Lord, remove these guns from our children, our sons, our daughters, our husbands, our wives, to let them know that's not the way. That is not the way to live or to be able to take a life, that you do not have the honor of the right to. But I ask you to bless all the kids that's in school with the knowledge to understand we need our education. So much have been taken away from us that we need to take what we have and to accomplish by that and to grow in that and to understand. Lord, I thank you. And I thank you for this life. I thank you for me. And I thank you. And I thank you because I know if it wasn't for you, I would not be here to praise and thank you and to thank you for life. I thank you. Apostle Elect is back in your hands.
Thank you, Minister Sheila. I have a few scriptures I want to share, but I first wanted to share a dream that I had. I want you to picture a couple driving down the street, and the police pulled them over, and the young man gets smart with them, and so they drag him out of the car, and they commits to beating him and abusing and misusing him. And the young lady gets out the car, and she records it all. And so they began to beat her and handcuff her. And so on the surface, I'm going to make this first couple appear to be an African-American couple. And there's people filming what's going on. And then in the next scenario, I'm going to have the same couple, and this man's going to get smart with them, and the woman's going to get smart with them. But this couple appears to be white. And so in the scenario, the cops are talking with them, and they're walking through the various laws and why they should do everything. But they never snatch the young man out of the car. They never misuse or abuse the person. But in actuality, it's the same couple. The first time the couple, they had went out and they got tanned really good, and they did some brush painting so that they could look like they were black and a minority heritage, but they weren't, because they were doing a test. And so when I woke up, you know, I was praying and I was asking God, why was it that I had that dream that the same couple was testing the system? And then I realized it's because everything that appears to be one way is not always the way that it is. And so in another country, you may go somewhere and people are kidnapping and doing human trafficking, and they do it to people of their own race. They think that if they kidnap this white lady, a white little girl that's blonde, blue eyes, that that's, you know, acceptable. But then you can go to that same country and there's a person of African-American heritage that they won't mess with, because they look at them as, you're already suffering just like me, so I'm not going to do anything to you. So my question is, if the couple riding in the car was the same couple, but for appearance sake, one time they appeared to be African-American and the other time they were their real color, why is it in America that it's okay to have prejudice and beat the young couple that appeared to be of African-American heritage, but then when that same couple no longer was tanned and no longer had on their painted skin, that did the same thing, why is it acceptable? Well, I'm going to share this scripture with you. It's really going to be a few. Galatians 1, and then it's Galatians 5, verses 1, verses 13, and verses 14. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, and then do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilling and keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. What I'm finding in America, we say that we love, but in actuality, we hardly ever even tolerate. We want people to be mini us, meaning if they look like us and they sound like us, they believe like us, if they act like us, is acceptable. But when their skin color is different from ours, whether it's jealousy, because I would love to have that skin color all the time, or whether it's just the fact that some people think that they're better than other people just because of their race or their silver spoon that was born in in their lives. So sometimes people will be prejudiced against you and not like you because of your income. Sometimes they won't like you because of your skin color. And sometimes they won't like you just because of what somebody else said. And in America, we have people, just like this scripture says, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. When police officers use their freedom to indulge their flesh, that means that's when they do the profiling. That means that's when they beat and abuse various races because they're indulging their flesh. I cannot say that I've had the privilege of never being racially profiled. I cannot say that I've had the privilege of not ever being misused or abused because of my skin color. I cannot say that I've had that privilege, but I can say that I've worked those jobs and still do, where the color of my skin means more than the essence of my character. I have worked those jobs where the color of my skin and the sex that I am played a bigger role than the performance that I've done. I have worked that job where I've given 200, 500%, where someone of another race have given 25%, but yet they were not only treated better, they were their performance, basically I was doing their job for them, but yet the performance rating, the bonuses that they received was truly because they were part of the good old boy program. But in that, I never allowed my flesh to be indulged, and I would never treat them illly. I would never treat them wrongly. I would still do right by them because the word of God says to bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you. So it's hard if you don't think about what does the word say. And so according to man's way, I should have not been doing the young man's work. I should not have been treating him fairly. I should not have been doing the things that I was doing, but I wasn't doing it for him. I was doing it for the customers. There were customers that came to see us that needed things. And just because of the good old boy program, just because of racism and prejudice and genderism, and all of those things, there was no reason for the customers to suffer for our internal conflicts. We decide if the enemy can use us. So I could have allowed the enemy to use me because of the racism and sexism that I was being, you know, I won't say that I was tolerating, but I was being forced into. But when I complained about it and when I said something about it, the enemy of our soul has become so versed in racism and discrimination that they said that it was leadership style. It was that person's style of leadership. When there's one thing for sure and for certain, how can it be leadership style and how can it be something else when someone's beating someone, when someone's stumping someone's head, when someone's snatching someone out of the car? Because in the dream that I had, the people that were misused and abused were the ones that looked like they were one race, but in actuality they weren't. And then that same couple, the same things, and nothing happened to them. They were given an honor and respect just because of their sex, just because of their gender, just because of who they appeared or thought that they were. So when we realize that 1 Peter 2:16-17 says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. In America, if we really honored the emperor, if we really honored the law, if we really honored one another, we will realize the currency that we spend says, in God we trust. But which God? What God are we really trusting? The enemy of our souls tries to make us think misusing and abusing our indulgence, our very beliefs, our discriminations and things of that sort are acceptable because they've been done so long in America. At one time, Indians ran this nation, this land, they ran it, they fought amongst each other, just like African Americans who are fighting amongst each other. But one thing that they were well known for is using the various tribes to come together to be united. And one of the things that they tried to do, as history proves, is they tried to embrace others, but it wasn't always acceptable. So if in America we're American citizens, why would one race, just because of their skin color or their income or where they live, think that they're better than others so that they get to misuse and abuse for another race? I've seen people treat their dogs and pets better than they treated their neighbor. I can truly say that my mom and dad were born in the era that they had to deal with racism in a whole nother way than what I've dealt with it. But I can tell you this, just because you're dealing with racism, just because you're dealing with sexism, doesn't mean that you should retaliate in a form that indulges your flesh. Just because you're dealing with being misused and abused doesn't mean that you should give it back. But see, and this flesh will tell you you have the right to fight back, and you do have the right to protect yourself. But who can protect you better than God? If God sends his angels and placed them encamped around you, how much better? How many people pray when they're being attacked? How many people call on God, call on the name of Jesus for him to come and be the rescuer so that whoever and whatever it is that's attacking you could see that you are the son or the daughter of the Most High God? When we protect ourselves, when we do things, that means that we have to keep doing it. It's temporal. But see, God can set us free and can close a door that no man can open like no other. We can close a door and it can be opened again. So my question that I would like to ask Minister Sheila is, Minister Sheila, have you dealt with racism and sexism before? And when you dealt with it, did you have to learn to pray through it, or did you automatically at first want to retaliate or to react? And before you answer, I just want to be honest. I had to learn how to pray. I had to learn how to not try to protect myself. But one other thing I had to learn how to do is I had to learn that I had a right to not tolerate sexism. I had to learn that I had a right not to deal with the genderism, because you can be in a place where that's acceptable and you become null to it and you think that it's acceptable too, but it is never acceptable to be misused and abused, because that's not the nature of God. That is not the nature of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Their nature is peace, love, and unity. So, Minister Sheila, what do you have to say?
Amongst my job, okay, due to my job, I had to deal with the same. And figure, because of my job, their color, their surrounding, it was so much better than me. I was so low that no matter how they attacked me, as they said, I had to swallow my pride and say, Lord, take my mouth and leave me as fit. The devil is pushing the button. And as I stand there and take the abuse, take the language, some have even name called me. I mean, I have been really just thrown to the pits of the snakes. And all I can say is, Lord, cover my mouth, cover my mind, guide me through this. And no matter how they would do me, I prayed and prayed and said, no matter how you do this or how you say this or how you treat me, I'm not going to let you win me. But yet in life, we come among this so often that I even ask them why. And no matter how I ask, they can never give me an answer. So I had to learn it. I had to train myself. But most of all, I had to pray on it. I had to pray and pray, because no matter how they will push that button, the more you pray, the more you'll have to understand and learn to don't go the way they are trying to take you. But some is no matter how you try to fight it, they can use the abuse, as you said earlier, that it can lead to harm of you for no reason. They don't really have the right, but because of the skin color and the racial and the above that they are thinking, they are so over you that you'll have to pray and have to try to understand and teach yourself. So as you say, and many need to know, the devil is that enemy. The devil is that racist. And you have to take God into your heart, your mind, and your soul, and ask him to teach you. Teach you how to understand and how to control yourself, your mind, your thoughts, so they don't push you beneath that level of them, because God is too far above for you to fall that low. It's going to be hard, but God will succeed. And all I have to say is he has succeeded me in my job work. I thank the Lord every day I wake up. I am at a place now where I work that everything and everybody is so, no, let me refuse that. 98% of the people are so beautiful there. They are so with you. And it's a mixed place. It's not all one race. It's mixed. People can't speak English, don't understand English, but yet still, God have gave me the way and the knowledge to at least understand something of what they are saying, although I don't speak the language. So it's a test. It's a school. It's a classroom that you have to go through and yet understand God and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, are the teachers. And you just have to be that student to sit and understand and read and pray and ask him time after time to help you through this class session, because you will be tried. And I thank the Lord for that. I have made it to a place where that 2 or 3% people was, which started off was 5, have came to understand that no matter what you do or how you do it, you're not going to bust this bubble, because God has the air in me and I want to blow up more and more and more with him. It's a lesson. You have to ask him to help you learn and to read and to understand and teach yourself. That's all.
Okay, so now let's transition. We talked about discrimination because of your skin color or the appearance of the skin that you are and your sex. America has transitioned to a new, or rather it's always been there, but it's more transparent and being highlighted now. there are people that are being racially profiled, it's really religiously profiled, and discriminated against because they may wear a turban or they may wear attire that could connect them with being a Muslim or a student of Islam. There are people that have walked around with various ties in their hands, bean ties and suits with ties on that are part of the Farrakhan movement and different things. There's other religious groups where they're Amish or things of that sort. There's other cultures and religious things where the people may walk around and they wear various attire that would cause them to be linked to or aligned with religious groups. Now, as Christians, we wear different garbs and that stuff, but the way to find out most of the time that a person is a Christian is not because of the garb they wear, it's not because of the hair thing, but it's because of what's in their heart. So my question and comments now are towards if the heart of a person is where you find out their true essence, if the heart of a person is really where the issues of the heart flow from, if a person has on what's considered Islamic or Arabic or Amish or bow ties and things of that sort, garb, how do you understand the essence of what's in their heart? Because some people are sitting in church and they're racist. Some people are sitting in church and they're sexist. Some people that are wearing those garbs are wearing them out of that's the way they dress, that's their culture, but their heart is right. And what I mean by their heart is right, they love people, they don't discriminate. Yeah, there are some that just because they think they can have several wives, they think they could be pedophiles and misuse and abuse young children, whether they're men, I mean young boys or young girls. But there's also people walking around in suits and ties and nice dresses and dress suits and skirt suits that are doing the same thing. So a lot of times when we're looking at the outward appearance of man, we don't really look at the heart of man. And so when we ask God for his wisdom, his word tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and that God will give it liberally unbraided. The word of God tells us that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. So if God is with us, and God will reveal to us those mysteries, and God will cause us to pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl, why have we now in America transitioned to not just being racially and genderly biased, but now we judge people because of how they're dressed? Some people are walking around in what people would deem hoochie clothes or thug clothes, but their heart is for God. So some people are wearing the clothes that they wear because that's their culture. Some people are wearing the clothes that they wear because that's all that they have. Years ago, Minister Brandon and I was at a church down in the North Carolina area, and it was a young lady who was wearing what they deem as hoochie clothes because that was all she had. There was a man there that was wearing the same suits all the time that was too small, and so everybody was talking about them and misusing them instead of praying for them. So what God allowed Minister Kaiser and I to do was we actually bought the young lady clothes so that she could, as they say, look like the people of that church. The young man, God allowed Minister Brandon and I to buy him multiple suits so that he could come to church dressed like whatever. So my question is, why is it the clothes you wear supposedly tell the content of your character when that might be all that you have? People judge people because of what their eyes see. But if we ask God to show us
what's really in that person's heart, he will. But some of us don't want to see that. We want to judge people and say, oh, they're Muslims, they're attackers, they're sabotagers, they do this or that just because of what they have on their outer garments, instead of asking God to tell us and reveal to us what do they really have on the inside of them. Because some people in these suits and ties are rapists, they're embezzlers, they abuse their children and their wives when they get home. So why aren't we praying more and asking God to reveal the person's true character and their true heart so that God can teach us how to rightly, not only divide the word, but how to rightly understand who that person really is? Why do we think we know so much and that we can just look at a person and be able to denote who they are, and then after that, indulge our flesh again and misuse or abuse that person verbally because of what they look like on the outside instead of knowing who they really are on the inside and spiritually? What do you have to say, Minister Sheila?
Yes, that is a major problem in this world today. So I see. But do it really tell you the story? No matter how a person looks, dress, you really don't know what type of person that is. I mean, you can have some of them, as you say, how they dress don't mean that's how they are. What your eyes see do not tell you the real story, do not give you the real information. Sometimes you can look at a person and you can know them for a while, I mean for years, and you really never truly know that person. Sometimes the ones you're around, family members, so-called friends, sometimes it's just what you see is not what they are. As they say, communication, sometimes you just need to talk to the ones around you that maybe you can really kind of communicate with them and find out exactly who they are, what they are, what's in their mind, how they are going about in their life. Because even your close encounter, communication and commitment with people, you don't really know. Your eyes can see and tell you a story that can be so far from that real, from who that person really is, till you can't understand it. But yet, you don't want no one to look at you and judge you. This world is more on the eyesight than where the person's heart and mind is really, where is that? As you say, the suit and tie, I mean, you even see it on TV. You know, what looks all upgraded, suit, tie, big office job, big car, can be the deadliest piece of devil work out here that you could not even imagine. Before we judge people, I look at people, I just say, God bless them and to bless me to understand what I see don't mean that's who or what that person really are. It's really, you know, that's the type of life. So as we need to get our hearts and our eyes together and let them see, don't judge what you see. Because that can mislead you. Kind of understand, and yet you can ask God, you know, to bless them and to help you understand. As the saying said, your eyes can be deceiving. Let your heart and your soul ask God or pray for that person with God, and maybe you can see exactly more than what your eyes see. You can see what your eyes see through God. Back to you.
Amen.
I was thinking about how sometimes in life we see a culture belittles people because of their sex. And so in this example, there's a young man who has no respect for women, treats them and talks to them all types of ways and treats them as sexual objects and things of that nature. And so people call this young man arrogant. They don't realize that on the surface, it looks like there's no help for him. He's just a sexist. He's just a person that has no respect for women. But as Minister Sheila said, as you get to know the person, as you learn the person, in the first scenario, that's the culture that they were brought up in. They were taught that. That was a learned behavior to treat women like that. He watched his parents with his dad treating his mom that way and his sisters. And so it was a learned behavior that he learned. And then in another scenario, the women in his life misused him and abused him. His mom beat him, and his mom and aunts and the women in his life, they were abusive to the young man. They did all types of manner of evil to the man. So there was all types of scars and wounds that needed to heal that he never took to God because he didn't know God. So his reaction was a reaction of not only revenge and retaliation, but his reaction in the second scenario was that of the hurter now becoming the person that does the hurting. In both scenarios, there's a healing and a learning and a teaching that needs to happen, where we have to go back to something Minister Sheila was saying earlier, where that person has to learn that they don't have the right to misuse and abuse someone, whether it's something they were culturally taught or because they have not been healed of the abuse and the misuse that they endured and all the neglect that they endured, that they should be vehicles, because they grew up in it, of healing. They should be walking, living epistles of healing. Because if you grew up in it and you didn't understand that it was wrong, but then now you become a Christian or you become a believer, you become a man or woman of God, not only can you repent, but now that mess can now be your message and your ministry to save and deliver others. To reach back and teach that person that just because they're a man doesn't mean that they get to do the things that they think they should do to women based off of being hurt by women or because they were taught that women were less than them. In the Bible, when Adam and Eve was walking together and they was walking as equals, the reason that the man became the head was not so that he could misuse or abuse the woman, because if you'll look in the Bible after that, did not make it where you see Adam misusing and abusing Eve in all type of ways that you see things. When Jesus was on earth, you didn't see him misusing and abusing his mother or the women connected to him. So God is our example, and Jesus is our example.
So when we indulge the flesh to cover up evil, because remember that's what the Word of God tells us not to do. It tells us not to do that because it, you know, reminds us that we're free. And because we're walking in the freedom and the liberality of God means that we will do the things that honors God and we will do the things that honors the people of God. And you may say, but they're not believers. They're not Christians. When God created the heavens and the earth, he did not say it was good after he created each religious group. He did not say that it was good after he created each culture. God said that it was good after he created humankind. So it's man that takes the things and perverts them and twists them the same way the enemy of our soul tried to do with Jesus when he was in the desert. But guess what? Saints, we got to love one another. The people that look like you, the people that don't look like you, the people that dress like you, the people that don't dress like you, people that have the same income that you have and the people that have higher or lower, the people that have the education that you have or higher or lower, the people that grew up speaking the same language you speak or speak another. Minister Sheila talked about how some of the people on a job speak a different language, but they still find a way to communicate in that of cooperation. It's our decision to decide if we're going to be our brother's keeper like the Word of God tells us. It's our decision to decide that we're going to respect and honor one another. It's our decision to decide that we're going to be like Jesus, like the song says, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Oh, I long to be like him, humble and holy, meek and lowly. I long to be like him. Many of us are longing to be like people and things, but it's not being like Jesus. Jesus is our greatest example. Jesus is the answer, the one and truly only answer. Because we're on this side of heaven. We're in earth, living our earthly lives. But while we're living them, we need to ask God for the mind of Christ. We need to ask God for his wisdom. We need to ask God to show us how to be people that walk in agape love. We need to ask God to show us how to pray and to bless those that curse us and despitefully use us and hate us. We've already given examples of hatred because of the indulgence of the flesh, because of the indulgence of yielding to the adversary of our souls. But what about when we yield to the love of God? What about when we yield to the joy unspeakable of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding? What about when we make a sound decision? Not my will, but your will be done, God. Be it unto me according to your word. When we make those type of declarations and decisions in our lives, we won't be that person that misuses people because we were misused. We won't be that person that misuse or abuse somebody because of the color of their skin, the race that they're from, or the religious group that they're affiliated with. Do you know there's more types of prejudice out there than you would think of? Some people don't like people or dislike people because they have their various handicaps. Some because they're too skinny to them. That's what they say. Some because they say the person's too fat for them. Some say because the person's hair is of one texture instead of another texture. Some because of this or because of that. There are cultures where they kill their children when they're born if they don't look a certain way or if they're not a certain sex. There are cultures decide there's too many men or too many women or male or female children being born, and so they kill them because they want to have a certain amount of certain sexes and looks. But how many of you know that God, oh my God, blessed us to be here today, to be walking, living epistles of love, of his yoke-destroying anointing that knows the truth will set you free. On today, we pray that God will set each and every one of us free of various prejudices and discriminations because of someone's skin color, because of their income level, because of their educational level, because of their size, because of the way they dress, because of any reason that's not God. Who gave us the right to decide that one race is better than another race? There's one race, people. It's the human race. The one that when God created it, he said it's good. And the one that when Jesus died for them, he said it is finished. It's not about the categories that mankind put us in, African-American, Hispanic, Asian. It's about the human race. Let's come together in love. Let's come together in peace and unity. Let's come together as one nation of believers that loves God and obeys God on purpose and for purpose. It's not about what we can get from one another. It's not about the money. It's not about the things, but it's about the unity with the perfect Trinity and the love that's unconditional. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Minister Sheila, you want to close us out in prayer and make the announcements?
Okay, thank you. Okay. Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for another day. Lord, I thank you, and I ask you to bless us. Bless us more with your knowledge, with your love and your strength. Teach us to understand that you are our life. You are the reason that we are existing because you gave us your son. Your son died on the cross for us that we might live today. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this holiday weekend. I just thank you for life, of life with you. Lord, I ask you to bless us all. Take us over this weekend. Take us through the day that you have chosen for us to be here and to give us the praise, to understand, to praise you, and to give you the knowledge and the thanks that you deserve more than we should. We should do more. Lord, I thank you to bless my sisters. I thank you for blessing my brothers, my sons, my daughters, my grandkids. Lord, I thank you for blessing each and every person in this world that you have decided to let us live. I ask you to touch the ones that's ill, Lord. Touch the ones that need your prayers. I ask you to bless Prophetess Sandra Thomas that she might heal and continue to preach your word. Apostle Sandra Thomas for blessing her with the knowledge and the word that is forever being taught and to let folks to know your acknowledgement through life that with you we are. Bless you for Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Reitman, Prophetess Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Brandon. I thank you for all the ministers, Pastor Troy, Dr. Serena Wright, Elder Kathy Kendall. I thank you for all the ministers and ministries and apostles and women and men of life through you that I know and the ones that I do not know. Lord, I ask you to bless us all that we can all be leaders and followers and teachers through your words, to bless us to know that life is through you. It's the beautiful, it's time, the beautiful things to have the life of worship, that knowing, God, you are real, and so is your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, forgive me, and I thank you for correcting and understanding and teaching me how to worship and understand and read more into my life through you and not without you. And I give honor to all of you that's listening today, and to let others know that this is a family of God's children. We know we love him. We have had life with him, and we choose and will not never let go. Amen. I want to ask you, on Monday nights, Iron Sharp Iron, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Pacific Time, with Minister Sylvia Wright Kaiser and Minister Sheila Kaiser, along with Minister Brandon and Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, with great speakers and knowledge of learning through the Word of God. On Friday night, Elder Kathy Kendall, 8:30 Central Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Pacific Time. And thank you for all the learning and the understanding, and to help me grow more and more. And again, on Sunday mornings, with Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser. And I ask the Lord and for all the acknowledgement to help me learn and talk more. And I do not mind being corrected, but I am learning and appreciating and thanking the Lord more for my teachers and the way of life through him. Back to you, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, and if I missed anything, please help me.
We thank everyone. As Minister Sheila has already said, I thank her for the prayer, opening prayer, the closing prayer. I thank you, God, and for her sharing with us the announcements. If you have an opportunity to go by the Fountains of Living Water, they're having service today at 4244 Madison Avenue. They're in service right now. And thank you, God, for all that you're doing. So don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So don't forget, tomorrow night, Smile 3E presents Iron Sharpening Iron at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Bye-bye.